Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Tuesday, April 21st. Today, we are reading in the Big Book, and we are studying page 32, the second paragraph, through seven sentences. It begins with, a man of 30 was doing a great deal, and through seven sentences, ending with, had qualified him to drink as other men. Today's readers are Susan G. for the 12 steps, Luann C. for the 12 traditions, Ann C.H. will read and comment on what was read. Vanessa G. will read page 164 for us. Dana P. is here for backup. And Larry G. Will greet our newcomers, and Robin P. will close us out with some announcements. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 23381. That's 23381. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23385. That's 23385. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Susan G. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, everybody. This is Susan G. in Tennessee, recovered. Here are the steps as adapted for Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me give service in my past.
Thank you very, very much. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature. Yes.
Oh, do you want the 12 traditions?
Oh, my gosh, I do. Skip right over it, please. Read the 12 traditions, Luann.
I will.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody. I'm Luann C. So grateful to be recovered today in Boise, Idaho. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service today. I pass.
Thank you so much, Lou Ann C. And now I will ask Ann SDH to please read for us page 32. The second paragraph, through 7 sentences ending with, had qualified him to drink as other men. Thanks so much, Ann.
Thank you, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. My name is Ann SDH. I'm a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in British Columbia, Canada. A man of 30 was doing a great deal of spree drinking. He was very nervous in the morning after these bouts and quieted himself with more liquor. He was ambitious to succeed in business, but saw that he would get nowhere if he drank at all. Once he started, he had no control whatsoever. He made up his mind that until he had been successful in business and had retired, he would not touch another drop. An exceptional man, he remained bone dry for 25 years and retired at the age of 55 after a successful and happy business career. Then he fell victim to a belief, which practically every alcoholic has, that his long period of sobriety and self-discipline had qualified him to drink as other men. So for myself, if somebody could unmute or mute, press star one. For my share, I would consider myself that nervous person. I wake up in the morning nervous, and I have to surrender that to God. But in this reading, for me, it's like a warning. And the warning for me was, I was a person that I had been successful in putting the food down, in that I became what is called a dry drunk. I was a dry eater. And I had the food down, but I wasn't working the steps. I got the food down by going through the steps with another fellow, not a sponsor. But we kind of coached each other as we went through the steps together. But I didn't continue in the work of 10, 11, and 12. I had aged parents, and with those aged parents, somehow God gave me grace to, by identifying my alcoholic foods and not picking up them. And this, I haven't picked them up for years. But my problem was, when I started coming back after my parents had passed away, I came back into the rooms, and I was horrified to discover that my meal plan would call for one apple, and I was volumizing by eating a whole bag of apples. And once I came into a vision for you, I recognized this was not abstinence, that I had to include volumizing and that tendency to eat abstinent foods but eat more than what I had reported. So this is kind of like, in the paragraph it says, in his long period of sobriety and self-discipline, self-discipline had qualified to drink as other men. I believe that that is what can happen to us, or happen to me, is that there's a belief that gets instilled in there. Like, this is from the pit, from the chapter, more about alcoholism, which for me is like more lies that I believe about myself. And so I live in this warning. I really hold fast to it, that so thankful for a vision for you, because I'm activated in working 10, 11, and 12. And I see a revolution, a good revolution within myself, in terms of I'm no longer that dry drunk where I've got the food down, but I'm not doing the steps. So with that, thank you, and everyone, bless everyone, and have an abstinent day. And I pass.
Elaine, we can't hear you.
Elaine, we don't hear you.
Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry. I had gotten muted and didn't realize it. Can you hear me now?
Yes, you're good, Elaine.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. All right. Although we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order for others to share their experience, too. So if you haven't shared in the last few meetings and you would like to comment on page 32, the second paragraph, pages through the seventh sentence, please give me your name. I'll take a lineup.
Mary Lee R. in Eugene, Oregon.
Mary Lee R. Anybody else?
Dana P.
Vancouver, BC.
I heard Dana P. Ave, and Freya.
Roz G.
Roz G.
Stephanie S.
Stephanie F. Okay, that sounds like a great lineup. Okay, we have Mary in Oregon, Dana P., Ave, Freya, Roz G., Stephanie S., and when you share, let us know where you're calling from. I know that Mary's from Oregon. Please share with us, Mary, and you'll be followed by Dana P.
Good morning. This is Mary Lee R. in Eugene, Oregon. And I have had such a pattern over the years. I have not knowingly ingested sugar since 2005 when I got serious about my program. And I would do all of the steps and I would have this wonderful abstinence. And then there would just be little flips here and there. My husband died. I went into volume. So I started over again, and then something else, and then something else. And I have to own up to the fact that I just stopped doing 10 steps. And I'm just so grateful, so very grateful that I have a loving, kind sponsor that didn't shame me, that didn't blame me, that just kept put me back on the path. And I was weighing and measuring alcoholic foods, and today I'm not doing that. And I've always been listening, and I used to just talk ad nauseum, and now I just, there's such a feeling of hope, and the acronym for hope for me is Happy Our Program Exists, and I am just grateful to be part of the herd. I'm not any better, and I'm not any worse, and thank you all for stepping me and helping me, and it's a we program, and I'm grateful. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mary Lee. I'll now ask that Dana P. to share with us, followed by Abby.
Yeah, thanks so much for your service this morning, Elaine, and everyone else here doing service on the line, but especially grateful to the newcomers, because that's why we're here. You know, this program is all about it. The 12th step is like our graduation, right? Having had a spiritual awakening, we tried, I always emphasize that, to carry the message, you know, to be able to help others. And that's the reason why I'm here. This paragraph, and the two people that spoke before, I thought it so amazing and beautiful that the first one was, you know, there was weighing and measuring of abstinent food, and then the opposite, you know, of that. And for me, it's kind of lying to myself about what's abstinent and what's not. You know, it's good, healthy food, but you know, honey, I could eat a lot of honey, and that's not good for me. It's very triggering. But what I wanted to say about the man of 30 or the woman of 30 is that in terms of alcoholism, and I know we're about food, but it is also something that alters my state and separates me from God and his kids, is that I did that. You know, I was the woman of 30, if you will, actually close to 40, where I just decided I wasn't going to drink. And I had a career and a life, and boy, but I'll tell you, I ate unimaginable amounts of food and threw them up. I compulsively exercised, suffered with anorexia on and off, and these things that were very, very not abstinent, very not sober. And I was a complete crazy person, you know, pushing my will on everything. And that went on for years and years. And until I decided, you know, step three, until I decided that I was going to let God run the show and work the rest of the steps, my life was pretty unmanageable in a lot of areas. The career, well, but even then, I was not nice to people. I had my own agenda. So I'm just really grateful for the steps, you know, those 12 steps and the fellowship here, and to be able to relate to people that have similar experience, to know that I'm not alone. And I appreciate what the person said before about the we. You know, it's like we need to know that we're not alone. So I'm super grateful. Thanks again, Elaine. I'm going to pass with that and look forward to the other shares.
Thank you so much, Dana P. Ave, you're up next. You're up next, and you'll be followed by Freya.
Good morning, everyone. This is Avi in Vancouver, British Columbia, grateful compulsive overeater. Thank you, Elaine, for facilitating the meeting and for everyone here, and as well, welcome to the newcomer. This is an incredible program and has absolutely saved my life. What's new about this reading, and I actually had forgotten about this, that about 5 years before I came back into OA. When I say came back, I went to one meeting about 22 years and was like, I am never going to call myself compulsive, and I'm good, thank you very much. And that was that, and I kept on eating myself up to 265 pounds of miserable existence. So about, I guess it was probably five or so years, I had been a pack and a half a day smoker, and I had quit smoking about 15 years ago by brute force. And I had decided about 5 years ago that I could do the same thing with sugar. So I was just going to quit. I was going to be that person of 30. I was just going to quit eating sugar. And I was miserable. I was miserable, and I hung on for dear life. And it probably lasted about maybe 6-7 months. And then one day, I was just sweating, and I was miserable, and I was just like, I think I can just have one. I think I'm okay. And we were at a celebration. I had a little square, and I was like, see, look, I can have just one. And then the next day, don't you know, I had two. And then it went on. And within a week, I was back to eating violently, and I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop binging the same way it was before, but it was worse. And it was hopeless, and I was helpless. And I went on that way until I found this program. And that's when I completely let go, and I was completely broken, and I just did the, you know, God, please help me, because I can't keep going like this. And it never occurred to me, and this is from somebody who was clean and sober too, that's, I'm kind of embarrassed to say that, for at that point it was 23 years, that it was a God-sized hole that I was trying to fill with food that could never be filled with food. There was no perfect bite, there was never enough food. And that coming in and letting go and letting God completely. And from that moment, I have been completely abstinent from recreational sugar. And there's no pull. I want to be, you know, say though, like our definition of abstinence is behaviors and whatnot. And I have certainly struggled with volume eating. So I've just passed 90 plus days. But this program works, and the answers are in the big book. And I just am so grateful. So thank you all for being here and wishing everybody an absolute and blessed day. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Avi. Freya, you're up next, followed by Roz G. Please share with us, Freya.
Good morning. Thank you so much. This is Freya H., really grateful, recovered compulsive eater, bulimic restrictor, and I am in Colorado. I did this behavior of trying to swear off starting at a really young age. I got this message that it's not okay to want to eat the way that you want to eat. So I tried so hard to control it. And I remember being in high school and making rules and setting limits for myself. Like, okay, I'm not going to eat junk food. And I don't remember how specifically I defined it, but basically my trigger foods, I'm not going to do that until spring break or until this dance or this event. And just like the man of 30, I was trying to prove to myself that I didn't have a problem because I thought, well, if I can control it, if I can successfully swear off for this period of time, certainly that proves that I don't actually have a problem. And of course, I never went into it thinking that this is forever. You know, I just thought, okay, then I'll be able to use it normally. And over the years, my behavior, you know, the evidence built up to show me that actually that wasn't true. So this is such a great illustration. And there is a passage in A Vision for You at the bottom of page 151, where it's just like such a great illustration. It says, now and then a serious drinker being dry at the moment says, I don't miss it at all. Feel better, work better, having a better time. As ex-problem drinkers, we smile at such a sally. We know our friend is like a boy whistling in the dark to keep up his spirits. He fools himself. Inwardly, he would give anything to take half a dozen drinks and get away with them. He will presently try the old game again, for he isn't happy about his sobriety. He cannot picture life without alcohol. And so I'll stop there, but I love that illustration because that's such a great description of what it is to be dry, what it is to try to give up the substance without actually having a solution. You know, it's like I'm gritting my teeth and I'm like, yeah, this is great. I feel great. But all the time I'm resentful and restless, irritable, discontent that I really wish that I could just be having that stuff. And the difference of actually being abstinent as a result of working these steps is night and day different from that. So I guess I'll just share that message with any newcomers or anyone who needs to hear it, is that when I'm in the food, I can't imagine life without the food. And I need to have this total surrender and complete change. And then everything will be different and I won't even want the food anymore. So that's a beautiful reality that we get to live in today, one day at a time. With that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Perfect timing, Freya. Roz G., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Stephanie S.
Good morning. I'm Roz G. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I thank God for my recovery every day. Thanks, everybody, for your service. I'm in Palmdale, if I didn't say that already, California. So just, you know, I was just thinking about how food can quiet me, you know, when things don't go my way. And thank God, you know, I thank God for the tools that I have today, the 10th step and meetings and being able to talk to people I trust, because, you know, I've had a couple of things happen in my life recently with my son and with work situations that would make me nervous. But because I've turned my will and my life over to the care of God and that my life is no longer my own, I don't need food to comfort me. But I'm not fooling myself. Because once a compulsive overeater, always a compulsive overeater. When I eat Girl Scout cookies, I cannot stop eating them. The box is gone very soon. When I eat chips, the bag is gone very soon. And I wonder, well, what happened to that? There are certain foods that I have no control. Donuts, I don't have control over them. I just don't. I'm powerless. And I've made up my mind many times, but a sick mind cannot cure a diseased mind. Or what is it? A diseased mind cannot cure a diseased mind. That's what it is. And so I have to look to the steps, God, sponsorship, other people, my food plan, following it. I'm telling you, I have to do these things because it's like take penicillin. When I take penicillin or amoxicillin or one of those antibacterial drugs, I feel good within a couple of days. But the package, you know, the package says take all of it. Don't stop. Complete the medication, because if I don't, I'm going to get worse. And that's exactly what happens with this program. But that doesn't mean I stop taking the medication. I do it every day. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rod T. Stephanie S., please share with us.
Hi, this is Stephanie S. from Washington State. That's S as in Sam. And this paragraph just reminds me of the many times in my life where I thought I figured it out. Like, okay, you know, I've got things under control. I went to Panway, da-da-da-da. Or, okay, I went to the weight loss clinic, da-da-da, you know. And things, you know, seemed like, okay, I'm good. I'm good to go. I came here about 3 years ago. And it was the first time that I read the big book, and my sponsor took me through the steps, and I was good for about a year and a half. And then I guess I was just like this man of 30. He took 25 years. I took a year and a half to go, oh, I believe I've been doing this program for a year and a half, so I should be fine. And it just took me down. That first bite led to many bites, led to I'm out of control. Where did the food go that was sitting here? It's gone. Oh, gosh, it's in my stomach, whatever. And so now I'm back working the steps, and I'm just, you know, I don't know about everybody else, but I do know for me that it's just a matter of me saying, yeah, I'm powerless. I can't do it. I have to be aware that I cannot do it. No matter what tools and tricks and skills I learn, something in life is going to come in my face, and I'm going to forget that I can't eat that stuff, and I'm just going to start eating it. And so anyway, that's where I'm at. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much for sharing, Stephanie. Appreciate it. Okay, we have time for maybe five or six more shares. So although we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in the order for others to have an opportunity to share their experience too. So if you would like to comment, please press star 1 to unmute and give me your name.
Mary Franklin.
Uh-oh. I didn't get any of those. Sorry.
Mary Frances
Charlotte
W. from Pennsylvania.
I heard Mary Frances.
Donna B.
Charlotte P. I'm just writing these down. And Donna B.
Jenny P. from California.
Jenny P. And one or two more? Anybody else?
Judith S. P.
Judith S. P. Okay, let's stop here and see how we do. And if I get your name wrong, please correct me as it goes. I'm writing very fast. Mary Frances, Charlotte P., Donna B., Ginny P. in California, I believe, and Judith S. P. So please share with us, Mary Frances.
Hi, this is Mary Frances W., recovered in Pennsylvania. I'm very grateful to be here. And Stephanie, thank you for your service. Not Stephanie, I'm so sorry. Elaine, thank you for your service. And and also for everybody who has already shared, you know, I this paragraph could be about me and how my program has worked for me over the past 43 years. And each time I got abstinent and I thought, you know, entire abstinence, there always came that day that I thought I could have just one. And like somebody else has shared, you know, the one didn't affect me. So then I could have another and have another and have another. And I was gently reminded by my sponsor this morning, who I'm so graced to be working with, that, you know, she hasn't gotten a writing from me in a few days, and how, you know, it's okay maybe to be relaxed for a day or two, but I might want to, you know, consider doing that again. And those weren't her words. Her words were not judgy, pushy, anything. It was just very gentle reminder for me. And what that reminded me of is this person failed to improve his spiritual condition. And if I'm not doing those practices, you know, I'm too tired at night, or I don't have the time during the day, or whatever, I'm going to end up right where he ended up. And it scares me. It really scares me. So I'm being scared into doing what I need to be doing, which is a healthy fear. So anyway, I am praying not to be this guy. Thank you, God, for my abstinence, my food abstinence. And please, God, help me. He's the only one that can help me do this. So, yeah, with that, I pass. And thank you, everybody, for your service.
Thank you so much, Mary Frances. Charlotte P., you're up next, followed by Donna B. Charlotte?
Hi, Charlotte T., compulsive overeater from Arizona. Thank you so much for your service, and I'm so grateful to be on this line today. This example is very interesting to me because I, over the years, have done exactly this, except I haven't seen it that way. I, as some others have shared, I came in through another program and am 14 years sober, and so I put that down and I thought, okay, that's my thing, and then initially, when I got into that program, I thought to myself, you know what, the bulimia that I was practicing in college, the bulimia is, that is not okay. Clearly, I can't do that. So I put that down. And I knew to the core of my being that would, you know, that was dangerous and I couldn't go there either. But then slowly, I just saw it kind of morph into this. I put sugar, like processed sugar and things down, but it just morphed into this thing where it was like, oh, I'll just have some fruits and nuts to get that effect. And, you know, just certain things that, you know, I could just get the effect from all sorts of different things. And I was constantly looking for the effect. And, I didn't put two and two together that, you know, postpartum, I got severely depressed and was suicidal. And I just couldn't put the pieces together that I was disconnected from my higher power. And I, towards the end, before this most recent surrender last September, you know, I was trying all the time to remember to pray. I couldn't remember to pray. I was so blocked, you know, and I wasn't doing 10, 11, 12 on a daily basis. So I was so blocked. And I am one of those that I did not gain excessive weight, but I was grazing all the time. And so I was just, you know, and I finally was able to see this for what it was. And I was insane, you know, and so I was finally able to concede to my innermost self and put the food down and finally get to my higher power and get to the solution. And, you know, I have been thinking over the past, I don't know, the past couple months, just reflecting on how my taste is changing. When I got in September and I just, I
I kept saying, I can't do this. I can't do this. And my sponsor would say, you can't, but God can. And, you know, all the little things, all the tools and things, I just kept doing that. And my desire has changed. I now want to do those things. I now want to eat my abstinent food in an abstinent way. So that's the hope for me, is that I don't have to live and just be white knuckling it. I love the life I have today, and I have joy and I have peace. And I just have to put that, I have to put the food down and connect to my higher power and plug in. So just really, really grateful, and look forward to hearing everybody else. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Charlotte T. Donna B., you're up next, followed by Jenny P. Please share with us, Donna.
Good morning. This is Donna B. I'm a compulsive overeater, bulimic, and restrictor calling from Denver, Colorado. I spell my name D-A-N-A, and I welcome outreach calls and connection. That's a critical part of my recovery, is staying in touch with my fellows, whether they are new to the program or whether they've been around for a long time. It reminds me of who I am and what I am and what it is that I cannot do and what it is that I must do. In this chapter, more about alcoholism, I have the opportunity to meet a few people, the man of 30, the jaywalker, Jim, Fred, and all of them are like my fellows that are walking this journey with me today, reminding me of the things that failed to work to keep me sober and abstinent. And one of the things that jumps out at me here in Jim's story, I'm sorry, in the man of 30 story, is that self-discipline did not work for him. Being humiliated did not work for him. Gathering all of his forces did not work for him. Having money at his disposal did not work for him. And the main point that they're making is that even a long period of sobriety did not work for him. And when I talk to my fellows on a daily basis, I'm reminded of all the things that all of us have tried that failed to work. And I'm inspired and reminded to take steps towards that which will work. And that's a connection with my higher power that can do for me what I can't do for myself. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna B. And Jenny P. is up next, followed by Judith S.P.
Hi, thank you, moderator. I'm Jenny P. from California. I'm recovered but not cured, and glad to be on this meeting this morning. Lots of great shares. The man of 30 story, it made me just look back a couple of paragraphs to what was on the special edition Sunday. It was a great special edition. Basically, the persistence of the illusion is astonishing, that we pursue it into the gates of insanity or death, that we had to fully concede to our innermost selves that we were alcoholics, and this is the first step in recovery, and that there's a delusion that has to be smashed. I'm not like other people. I'm not like other people back then, and I'm not like other people now. And I was also kind of focusing in on this sentence, like, he gathered all his forces and he couldn't, and every means of solving his problem was at his disposal. Every attempt failed. I think the other day there was a paragraph and people were talking about all the methods they had tried. And way out of the archives of my mind, I thought about a time when I was in the program, but in the beginning, I was relapsing quite a bit. And I was a much younger person. And I had a friend who said, I know about this fat farm. You can go there and, you know, you'll fast for a week and you'll come out and, you know, you'll break the cycle. And so I went, and it was very crowded there. They had to put me in a tent outside of the housing. And I couldn't even make it 24 hours. I was so jonesed by not being able to have my sugar and also my cigarettes at that time. And I can remember running out of there and the director telling me that, you know, I was in serious trouble, and driving down the highway, stopping at every drive-through I could, smoking cigarettes and eating junk food. And I don't know why I felt the need to tell that story, but I had forgotten about it. And it just showed me that there were so many methods that I tried and none of them did work. But when I did concede to my innermost self and I took that first step and then, you know, worked the rest of the steps to the best of my ability. And that took a long time, by the way. That took many, many years, unfortunately. It didn't have to, but it did in my case. You know, now with the help of higher power, I can live in 10, 11, and 12, and I have a much different life. And I'm free from the food one day at a time. Not cured, but free. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much. And Judith S.P., please share with us.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Judith S.P. from Maryland. Truly grateful to be here. I hopped on and God inspired me to get on and share. Thank you, Elaine, and everyone for being here. It would be pretty lonely if I came on and no one was home. The man of 30, this more about alcoholism is becoming my favorite chapter. And that's fine. They're all favorite. But I didn't quite understand. Okay, you told me there's a solution. Why are you giving me more information? Why are you telling me about all these bizarre people? Well, because all these bizarre people are Judith, and I need to have my head knocked against the wall, not literally, but figuratively. And I was thinking as people were sharing, and wonderful shares today, and this is kind of morbid, there's a flesh-eating virus. I think a lot of times people get it in the hospital after another condition, and this disease is spirit-eating. It's spirit eating. And my disease is what keeps that disease, that spirit eating whatever, going. And over the years, I had not a clue. And just like this young man, I have a lot of intelligence. I can analyze things. I can figure things out. Not mechanically, that's not my strong suit, but socially and you know, administratively, I could do a lot. I was never homeless. I never had an empty refrigerator. I always thought, and I guess I would be identified as, you know, a middle-class gal, but miserable inside. And I would always put these conditions up. Judith, if you just can do this, then you'll get that. And he did it for many, many years. But the turnaround for me is I have to do things with structure. I need to do things one day at a time with my higher power. When we read these words, he's running the show, right? He's controlling everything. I'll do this. I realize I have a problem. I'm going to take care of it. Look how well and disciplined I am. And this disease, the spirit-eating entity will kill me. If not physically tomorrow or today, it will emotionally and spiritually. So I'll be like the walking dead. I can smile at you and you'll say, oh, how are you? I'm good, realizing that I am torn up inside. So this is not for me to kid about or comment on and not take into practical action. I have to surrender to God every moment, one day at a time. If I do it more than one day at a time, I'm putting too much pressure on myself, and I'm going to backslide into that spirit eating whatever. So thank you for letting me share, and this is great, great information to help me throughout the rest of this God-given day. Thank you.
Thank you, Judith S.P. We have time for one more share. Who has a burning desire? Anyone like to take our final share? Going once.
Going Doreen twice. N.
Doreen N. Please share with us.
Yes, thank you so much for the meeting. Thank everyone for your service. Yeah, I'm definitely this person. And today, by the grace of God, my higher power, 30 days today. But I would be like, oh, because the disease is a big fat liar, right? It just is. And it lies to us. And, you know, I believed it at some time, right? I'm like, long story short, I would have 15 days. I would have picked up. But I was white knuckling it. That's the difference. I did not address the emotional and the spiritual component. This is a spiritual program, not a diet club with group support. That's not what it is. And I was treating it that way for the longest time. I've been in and out since 95. I know what it's like to be abstinent. I know what it's like to have the excess weight taken off. But the bottom line is that long period of sobriety, yeah, I was there like, oh, I got, and that my behavior, oh my God, I was not emotionally sober because I was so miserable. And so, yeah, I felt humiliated, degraded. I hate my body, body dysmorphia, all because of this disease. But I have something different now. I have the fellowship, I have my higher power, and I am not helpless, but I am not helpless. Pass.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for letting me share.
So appreciate your share and everybody's share and everybody being here. So we'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Vanessa G. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
I will. Hi, everybody. My name is Vanessa G. I'm a recovered compulsive eater in New Mexico. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize that we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find. And join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thank you so much. I'll now ask everyone to please press star 1 to unmute so we can say the Serenity Prayer together.